I'm Coco. You're supposed to do the Joe Bell.
You want me to do it? Wait, do it. Set it up again.
It's coming. A story fantastic. A story so queer. It's all about Santa and his helpers three. There's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe. It is frightening.
That's my real voice. This is my fake radio voice, but my real voice is And Joe.
But that's all you can say.
That's all I can say is And Joe. It wouldn't be Christmas, Wendy, without a visit from everybody's favorite little Christmas elf, Dave Plyer, who we all know from this station, of course, from WGN, his work here, and also as the vice president of the Broadcast Museum. Hi, Dave. Nice to see you.
Good morning to you.
Nice to see you.
Good afternoon.
Nice job on the play, by the way.
Oh, and to you.
You did a nice job
earlier today.
Yeah.
It was good.
Was it fun?
Yeah. You were good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So were you.
And by the way, people have been wondering if they didn't hear it earlier this morning. We are going to replay that, I believe, on Christmas Eve, probably Christmas Day, and you will definitely be able to find it on WGNradio.com.
Yeah, if you missed it, don't worry.
A few times, yeah.
Yep, it will. The snippet we just played, of course, from the holiday classic Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, it is, for me anyway, and I know for a lot of other people who grew up in Chicago, when you see it or when you hear it, you automatically revert back to the 1960s of
and
watching
Santa
it.
On his way.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yep.
It's just a thing of beauty.
It's 1953 that Fraser Thomas on Garfield Goose, when it was on WBKB, it was actually on CBS before it went to WGN.
Yeah.
He used to play them on the air. They were made like his music videos to sell 45 records and sheet music.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they were made
really?
For. And they were intended to like play them for a couple of years and be done with it. And because he played them, and there's only one other station, I think it's in Philadelphia, that did something very similarly on a children's show for like 20, 30 years, that it's near and dear to their hearts as well.
Yeah.
But when you play it anywhere outside of the market, nobody has ever seen these. Nobody knows what they're all about.
You know,
so it's just local.
It's really because of the, it was on the air down on Garfield Goose, but then it played on Bozo, the WGN Morning News. They played on the news program even.
But interestingly, with these, they played them every single day. Like usually somebody would say, we'll play it once a week or a couple times during the holiday. But they played it every day.
Right.
And I wouldn't leave, when I was getting ready for school, I wouldn't leave my house until I had seen them on Garfield Goose. I was late for school every day in December because I didn't want to miss it.
Yeah, of course.
It's the strangest thing. A company called Centaur Productions, I believe, was responsible for these, right?
Yeah, they did.
Is that half man, half horse?
Yeah, I think that's a centaur. Yeah.
They did Hard Rock and Susie because it was like that stop motion, early stop motion animation that they did. It was a sculpture that used to work for Walt Disney. His name was Wamin Chang that sculptured all these little pieces and then would just create these little effects to make the cartoon. And it was years ago, about 7 years ago, we decided to digitally remaster them because they were in really, really bad shape. Like everybody's copy, WGN's copy, our copy were in bad shape. So it was like 12 minutes of video that took, I think, 70 hours, like one summer, going through and cleaning every little bit of it up. That's how long this stuff takes. And they started taking out the lines that held the puppets. And I'm like, no. We got to put that's part of the
charm.
Absolutely. Seeing the snowflakes kind of dangle and Susie Snowflake going all over the place. So at some point, we digitally remastered them. They air on Bozo Garn Ray, which Dean Richards hosts every Thanksgiving. But then we also made them available on DVD, too.
What a great Christmas gift, though. Like, my brother lives in Peoria. He's not going to – well, he might see him. But if you have somebody who is, like, out of state, who grew up here, what a great Christmas gift.
Yeah, that's at museum.tv, or you can go to the Museum of Broadcast Communications on 360 North State Street and get it in the store there. But it was Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, and then Susie Snowflake. And they all started at different times. Like, I think he started playing Susie in, like, 53. He played Hard Rock, Coco and Joe in 56. Frosty was more of an animation. It was done by a company called United Productions of America, and it was like this limited animation that they did.
Right.
And same guys that did Mr. Magoo and the Dick Tracy cartoons.
Oh, really?
So they weren't, you know, the movement was kind of, you know, jiggery when you went through the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember specifically with Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, there's little elements, and it's funny because you remember it as a complete entity, but when you sometimes just think about the little scenes, for instance, there's this one scene of the reindeer. You see him only in silhouette up in the sky.
Yeah.
And it's just such a magical look. And there's also a way that the North Pole is backlit when the reindeer flying away from it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know who designed all that, but boy, does it work.
Did you notice that as a kid or now as an adult watching it? Because, boy, you watched with a very special eye.
It was trying to figure out what's so intrinsic about it. You know, I would try to analyze it and go, why does this mean so much? But I think it had to do with Half and Half, just the way it was shot, and also the fact that you're a kid and Christmas is coming and there's all the anticipation.
And everything's magical.
Everything's magical.
But you got to think about the early 50s, too. They weren't really even playing all the Warner Brothers cartoons at the times or the Popeyes. Right. They weren't playing a lot of cartoons on television in the early 1950s. So just this alone, even though it was so simple, was so special because you were watching a cartoon on television, because really the only place you could see those things usually were in the movie theaters.
Well, these predated the Charlie Brown Christmas special and Rudolph and easily by a decade.
Bill, you love controversy, as do I, and Rita is claiming that she saw these shorts in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Channel 6 over there or something. There were some children's show that played it there, and they play it every year for like 40, 50 years. So those people there get it too, but that's really...
Right.
And you love it, don't you, Rita?
Oh, I did. No matter where we were in the house, my sister and I would run to the TV to watch it. You know, I think it might have been out of Pittsburgh. But I'm not sure. But and it was great.
But they were steel workers in that version, right? I'm trying to remember. They weren't Santa elves.
And coal miners too.
Right.
That's awesome.
Rita, have a very, very merry Christmas. And Paul has a question too for Dave Plyer. Hey, Paul.
Hey, I was wondering if you have any idea who wrote the vocal arrangement for those two songs, because they're a cappella and they're flawless.
You know, not who wrote them. I know who performed them. Like Susie Snowflake was done by the Norman Luboff Choir, which used to back up Frank Sinatra and Harry Belafonte. But the main woman who sang it was Norma Zimmer. And you remember who Norma Zimmer was? She was also famous for something else for years.
Was she Zuzu? No, was Carolyn Grimes.
She was the champagne lady on the Lawrence Welk show.
That's right. That was her.
Like, she just died a couple years ago, actually. But yeah, but she did that a long time in the early 50s.
Wow.
I'm amazed by
that. That's her voice, yeah. That's her voice.
And why did they get the Sinatra? Or I mean, it seems like they would have gone local to do this, but that's pretty impressive.
It is. And they did. Well, don't forget, they didn't produce them here. They produced them in New York or L.A. or wherever Central Productions was at the time.
Yeah.
But they did that for like a lot of the holiday specials. Like they did that for Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Susie Snowflake, just a random choir. I was talking to Lee Mendelson, who did Charlie Brown Christmas, and they did the song. They went to a church that was doing Christmas carols, and they said, "Well, would you mind if we just taped you doing Hark the Herald Angels Sing? And you do one more song for us?" And gave them another one. So some of this is so random. Like,
that's
you would think
cool.
This is so planned, but it was
so random.
But you
know what, Dave? There was a woman who had kind of a semi-hit with Susie Snowflake, who's not the woman you're talking about, because I looked for the 45 of it.
And it's different.
When I was in high school, it was a different woman. Yeah. And that version's okay, maybe because it's not the one we grew up with. But I remember looking for years and years for a 45 and finding one, and it's this other woman singing it.
The Hard Rock Coco and Joe is also 45, and it's a whole different group that
did that
as well.
It's a different arrangement.
Like, why you wouldn't just put that on a 45 or something? Yeah. I don't get it either. Yeah.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We're talking about some Chicago classic Christmas moments. You got Susie Snowflake, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, and Frosty the Snowman, which, again, are available
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Jackie Vernon. Those are available to you at the Chicago Museum.
Museum.tv.
Museum.tv is your best bet if you want to purchase them. Can I ask how expensive they are? They're not going to break the bank.
$1 million.
They're like $25, and there's also Hard Rock Coco and Joe ornaments that you can buy, too, for the tree, which
cute.
Are pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We just started doing those last year. I've got a couple to give away, too.
All right. How do you want to do it?
You two?
Yeah. We have two winners. Sorry.
All right.
How do we do that?
So I've got two questions. You want to do that?
Yes.
Okay. In the lyrics of the song for Hard Rock Coco and Joe, the three little men, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, were only how many feet high?
Oh, good question.
Okay.
All right.
And then the second question, what are the only two of Santa's reindeers mentioned in Hard Rock Coco and Joe?
Excellent questions.
Boom.
Do you know how many people are going through it and singing it in their head right now to get to the answers?
Yeah. I know. All right, so again, those two questions are, how many feet high are Hard Rock Coco and Joe, and what are the two reindeers that are mentioned by name in that same special?
Yeah.
If you're the first caller to know either one of those at 312-981-7200, you'll win the prize package Dave Plyer just told you about. We'll come back and talk more about this and another exhibit that's coming to the Chicago Museum in just a little bit, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Frosty is a
I don't really want to talk over this, but we must, because Dave Plyer is visiting with us today, and you asked a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what those questions were? Because I sure don't.
I do. In the lyrics of the song, Three Little Men, Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, how many feet high were they?
And Rick, you think you have the answer, huh?
Hi, Wendy. I think so. 2 feet tall?
That's it.
Two feet tall.
Yep. 2 feet high. You got it, brother.
All right. And he has won.
And the other one is...
What's the prize?
I'm sorry. It's the digitally remastered DVD of Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, Susie, Snowflake, Frosty, and and Peter Cottontail.
Very rare, Peter Cottontail.
Very rare. He played that, too. Yeah.
Stay on the line, Rick. We'll get your info.
And the other question?
What are the only two of Santa's reindeer mentioned in Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe?
Tori thinks she knows that. Hi,
I'm
Tori.
Sure she does.
Hi, it's Donner and Blitzen.
Boom.
Away, away.
Yeah.
Away, away. Yeah. God, this brings me back. All right, hang on the line. We'll set, Dave will set you up. We won't do anything.
Dave, who is the old lady they keep referring to in the song? Oh, the old lady, I.O. Who is that
hang
old
on,
lady?
Hang on, Tori.
I want to know more about the old lady.
I don't know who that would be.
Very mysterious.
They should call her the elderly woman,
yeah, not old lady.
Yeah, that would be being politically correct again.
Yes.
I got to tell you, when we digitally remastered these, my son was watching them and all cleaned up, and I said, look, they're all, we digitally remastered them. We cleaned them up. He said, they're still in black and white.
Can I, you know what's, I swear to you, the first time we showed them to my nephews when they were little, I was so excited to show them. And they went for the TV to fix the buttons to see how they could fix it. The TV shouldn't be in black and white.
Yeah,
come
no,
on.
It shouldn't anymore. You're right.
But how much more magical are they somehow in black and white?
Yeah.
They seem more dreamlike.
They wouldn't work in
color.
I'm sorry.
Would they?
No. I wouldn't want to see that.
No doubt about it.
Giving me an idea, though. But
did anything happen? Did anyone
Some people would want to see it in color.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah. Did anyone ever find the puppets that were used? They must have used real puppets and sets.
No.
Nobody has those anymore.
No, nobody has those. I know there's Rankin and Bass ones from the 60s that are around that Rick Goldschmidt
has
had, but none of those.
Oh, too bad. Yeah. Wouldn't those be fun to
Have you
to
taken
own?
Them?
No comment. They're mysteriously missing, and that's all we need to say at this time.
In his museum, in the second floor.
In Hard Rock Coco and Joe Town.
Yeah.
Now, over at the museum, some very exciting news about an exhibit that is premiering, I want to say in January, right?
Yep, January 12th.
January 12th. Tell everybody.
To coincide with Antenna TV putting on Johnny Carson every night at 10 o'clock, because it's going to be weeknights, that is the hour-long show, and they're going to do the 90-minute shows on the weekends.
Oh, nice.
So Antenna TV is one of our sponsors, actually, for this, and it's going to be a full-on Johnny Carson exhibit that's going to be on display through October. And so, it's the 1960s desks, if you remember what that looks like. It's his costumes, like his Karnak, his Art Fern costumes.
Really?
It's his last cue cards from his final show.
That's
for
pretty
his
cool. What about the curtain? I always
that
remember the
curtain.
Yeah.
The curtain is owned by a gentleman there's a guy that collects TV sets, and he is, I mean, like sets of TV shows.
Is it Kramer from Seinfeld?
Yeah, the Merv Griffin set.
That was my favorite Seinfeld ever. he literally like has you all in the family set, and is like, he's like repaired all the rugs from all, like this guy's meticulous. He's a millionaire, but he won't put them on display. So
what does he do with them? He just has
them? He has them in warehouses all over the place. Some are set up, some aren't. And he has the Johnny Carson curtain.
Yeah.
And the only place that he brings them out, and I mean, he cleans it like you see people cleaning it like with a Q-tip.
Yeah.
He puts it out for the Comedy Central Comedy Award. So whoever wins the Johnny Carson Award, like last year was David Letterman, Rickles presented, I think Bill Murray presented it to him. Johnny's curtains hang in the background.
That's really? Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but otherwise, no, it's not really on display. I think there's going to be some faux curtains there, but not.
I totally remember that colorful curtain.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Dazzling.
Yeah, yeah.
So the exhibit, again, it starts in mid-December.
January.
Oh, January
12th.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
And then it'll run through...
October 15th.
That's such a great thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I've heard stories about the premiere of these episodes and how cool it is. Dean Richards was actually telling me that he saw a couple of the episodes. And you forget, like in the monologue, a lot of it was very timely and the news of the day. So Dean said, and I don't know how you could disagree with this, some of it might not make total sense right now because you'll have to go, wait, what? I don't understand that joke. I don't know who that particular guy is he's joking about. But we'll figure it out.
There's a Johnny Carson channel on YouTube, which has very little content, but it's got a few shows on there. And you do watch it, and you're kind of, and the jokes, especially the monologue, but even some of the stuff that they're discussing with the desk is so 1975.
Very dated.
But you know, it's still very cool because you're watching Johnny, the master interviewer, going through all this, and he's just amazing for 90 minutes. He's got the author, he's got the actor, he's got another actor, he's got a third actress that comes out, he's got a musician, he's got, and it's 90 minutes
right.
He's doing this every day.
And everybody's smoking.
Yeah. I mean,
like, you wouldn't see that today.
I mean, who can do interviews for more than 90 minutes?
Nobody I know.
He was the best.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Someone has just texted us, so maybe they tuned in late. Where can I get the Susie Snowflake, et cetera, CDs, DVDs? I have so many wonderful memories.
Yeah, that's at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street, or you can go to museum.tv. That's museum.tv, and there's Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe ornaments there as well.
For people who have not been to the museum, there's so many great things to see and do. A lot of Bozo memorabilia, a lot of local stuff, but a lot of national things as well.
A lot of national stuff. There's stuff from I Love Lucy, her Emmys, one of her dresses. There's stuff from The Tonight Show, Meet the Press, the Kennedy-Nixon debates. But there's also all this great local, Bill Jackson and the Dirty Dragon.
BJ, God, I loved him.
Yeah.
Ray Rayner, Bozo. Like, there's a lot of set pieces from Bozo and Garfield Goose as well. So, yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Are the boxing gloves that the actors who played Fred and Ethel Mertz used to hit each other, are they on display there? Because I know they hated each other.
They hated each other.
I
don't know who hated each other more.
I'll tell you, if you guys give me your initials, I will put your initials on a piece of paper and draw a little caricature of
you.
Like
that?
I used to try and do that every time while watching Bill Jackson.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you took his name. Yeah, took the initials.
Yeah,
right?
You would send in your initials, like, you know.
And what you wanted to be, what your profession would be.
And, you know, when I took the W for me, it would always be a sideburn.
He does that. He does it on his Christmas cards, like when he
does
sends
he
it
still?
Out. He's yeah.
Had such a crush on him, and I had my own clay that I used to pretend was the Blob, and I would make cardboard cutouts of eyes and teeth so I could do it.
Right. You got a good Blob?
That a good Blob?
Yes. That's, my Blob was little, though.
That's the reason, Dave, that Wendy and I have Maurice Linnell cookies as our primary sponsor is because of Cartoon
nice.
Town.
They're back.
Yeah, they're back and better than ever.
Congratulations.
That's Dave Plyer. Listen to him on our radio station, would you? Thanks, Dave. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.